السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
ان آیات کا ترجمہ یہ ہے کہ ہم
ضرور تمہیں کچھ. The translation of these verses is, and we will try you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and fruits. But give glad tidings to the patient, who, when a misfortune overtakes them, say, surely, to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. These verses outline the qualities a believer displays when faced by any difficulty, tribulation, or loss of any kind. God the Almighty says that one is ascertained to be a true mu'min, a true believer, when they demonstrate these traits. The mu'mineen, the believers, have to face loss, at times on a personal level, and at times they face loss on a collective level. A true mu'min, a true believer, however, attains the pleasure of God the Almighty through every loss and emerges and should emerge triumphant in the face of it. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has shed extensive light on this subject from different perspectives in his writings and pronouncements. I shall present some extracts of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, on this topic at this time. Explaining this verse at one place, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, you should not consider afflictions to be something bad, because one who does is not a mu'min, a believer. Allah the Almighty states, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When this suffering afflicts the prophets, it heralds the glad tidings of reward. And when this very misfortune afflicts those who are evil, it heralds their destruction and ruin. Thus, when a person faces a tribulation, they should recite قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, so they can seek the pleasure of God the Almighty in the face of adversity. The life of a mu'min, a believer, consists of two parts. He is decreed reward for his good actions. However, for one who displays patience and steadfastness, there is limitless and infinite reward. Fazul says there is of course reward for good actions, but there is even greater reward for displaying patience as well. So the promised Messiah says, God the Almighty says, these are the steadfast, and these are the ones who have understood God the Almighty. Allah the Almighty splits the life of those who understand the essence of patience into two parts. Firstly, one who is patient has his prayers answered by God the Almighty when he supplicates to him. As God the Almighty states, أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and God the Almighty states, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ, pray unto me, I will answer your prayer, and I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he prays to me. Secondly, sometimes God the Almighty does not accept the prayer of one who supplicates for expediency. At such a time, a mu'min, a believer, utterly submits to the will of God the Almighty. It is said that Allah the Almighty is like a friend to a mu'min, to a believer. Just like among friends, one friend sometimes accepts what the other says, and sometimes one has to accept what their friend wants. This is similar to the relationship God the Almighty has with mu'mins, with believers. At times God the Almighty listens to the prayers of believers, as he says, أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, pray unto me, I will answer your prayers. And sometimes God the Almighty wants the believer to accept what he says. And hence God the Almighty states, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, we will try you with something of fear. Faithfulness and honesty is in understanding this point and not stressing on only one side of this relationship. The promised Messiah says, a believer should not become grief-stricken when faced with adversity and misfortune. A believer is not superior to the prophets. The fact of the matter is that in times of tribulation, a fountain of love and compassion sprouts open. Every misfortune a believer faces is followed, without exception, with thousands upon thousands of moments of bliss, delight and gratification. Then the promised Messiah says, the beloved of God are not afflicted with misfortune out of their sin. Rather, the qualities of a believer are manifested in adversity. Observe how marvelously the morals and character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shine forth during times of affliction and in times of help. Had the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not endured pain and suffering, how would he have been able to demonstrate these morals to us? Without a doubt, others consider the suffering and affliction of the mu'mins, the believers, to be exactly that, to be suffering. However, a believer does not consider it to be suffering. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, the most important matter is that man should be steadfast in true and sincere tawbah, repentance. He should understand that through repentance, through tawbah, he will gain a new life. And if one seeks the fruits from repentance, then follow the repentance with actions and practice. Look, when a gardener sows a sapling, he waters it and it flourishes and grows. Similarly, faith is like a sapling that is irrigated through actions. Thus, actions are immensely important for faith. If faith is not accompanied with actions, the saplings of faith will wilt away and become lifeless. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then says, in the state of a mu'min, of a believer, do not consider trials and tribulations to be bad. Only he considers tribulations to be bad who is not a complete mu'min. The Holy Quran states, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah the Almighty states that we will try you with loss of wealth, life, land, and so on. However, those who show patience in the face of such adversity and who continue to be grateful are given the glad tidings that the door of God's mercy is flung wide open to them. The bounties of God the Almighty will shower upon them, who say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." In other words, we and all we have belongs to God the Almighty, and eventually all will return to Him. Sorrow and anguish of any kind does not consume their hearts. Such people attain a station in God's pleasure. Such people are patient and steadfast, and God has decreed limitless reward for the patient. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then says, "Some people allege that God the Almighty does not listen to their prayers, or they mock the saints and the awliya, the friends of Allah, and target them with insults. And they say that such and such prayers of those awliya, the friends of Allah, were not answered. In truth, they are completely ignorant to the divine law. However, one who has this relationship and interaction with God the Almighty will fully understand this law. God the Almighty has presented two aspects whereby He listens and also has him listen to. Faith is in accepting these two principles. Do not become one who stresses on just one of these two aspects, lest you act contrary to what God states, and be one who tries and breaks His law." The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, "There are only two ways of spiritual progress for man. Firstly, man takes it upon himself to abide by religious obligations as commanded by God in Salat, fasting, paying zakat, and performing Hajj. However, as abiding by these matters is in his own hands, man is sometimes slack and negligent in these, and at other times finds an easy and comfortable way to deal with them. Therefore, the second way is one which directly descends on man from God and is truly the source of man's spiritual development. This is because in religious obligations, man finds some way or the other of leniency or ease. Observe if someone was given a whip and asked to hit himself with it. As a matter of principle and owing to self-compassion of one's well-being, who would want to inflict pain on himself? This is why Allah the Exalted has placed another way for completion of human development and has stated, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we will try you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and fruits. But those who bear these difficulties and hardships and endure these worries and hunger with patience and recite "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," for them there are huge bounties, the mercy of God the Almighty, and special rewards. Look at the way a farmer laboriously ploughs the earth in order to level it. He then sows the seed and endures all the difficulties for its irrigation. After undergoing all kinds of struggles, efforts, and ensuring its protection, the tilth is prepared. At times, owing to God Almighty's fine wisdom, there can be hailstones, or due to drought, the tilth is completely destroyed. In short, this is an example of the difficulties. These difficulties are referred to as a predestined difficulty. It was in such circumstances that Muslims were granted a pure teaching. It was truly a model and lesson for being content in the face of difficulty. Thus, we should always keep this in view, and we should never allow this thought to enter our hearts that why has God Almighty made us experience such huge losses? or why has God the Almighty put us through trials and tribulations? We should also not become upset because of the opponent's mockery or their taunts, that if God the Almighty is with you, then why did you incur so much loss? I shall reiterate some of the important points that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has mentioned before us in these extracts. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that always remember that when prophets and the dear ones of God the Almighty are faced with difficulty and problems, and also the prophets' communities who follow its true teachings. In any case, when the dear ones of God the Almighty are made to face difficulties, it is not because He wants to put them in a difficult situation or that He wants to punish them. In fact, He gives them glad tidings. However, those difficulties become a means of destruction when God the Almighty makes the opponents of the prophets and their communities face them, and also when they befall upon the wrongdoers. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also stated that those who endure difficulties with patience become recipients of God Almighty's immeasurable rewards. Thus, it is essential for a mu'min, for a true believer, to understand the meaning of patience. Patience does not mean that one should not be concerned over a loss. In fact, it means that one should not become overwhelmed with the agony of his loss, that as a result, he loses all his senses and hope, and no longer utilizes his physical faculties. Thus, concern should be shown to an extent, and one should show concern. But alongside this, one should make a solemn and practical effort to attain even greater heights than before, with a new resolve. One should also remember that those who are patient are the ones who understand the reality of prayer. At times, God the Almighty immediately accepts the prayer, and sometimes due to some reason, He does not accept it. However, a mu'min, a true believer, is one who should be content with the will of God the Almighty in every situation. A mu'min should never question God's actions. This is true patience, and when one demonstrates it, then God the Almighty tremendously bestows him with his rewards. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, states that the true servants of God the Almighty derive pleasure even at times of difficulty, because they can see that behind these tribulations there are countless rewards and blessings of God the Almighty. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that a mu'min, a true believer, is put through trials and tribulations not because of his sins, rather it is a test or a trial from God the Almighty, so that it can also be made manifest to the world that God Almighty's servants are content with His will in every circumstance. The promised Messiah states that the most beloved person to God the Almighty was the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Yet the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was subjected to many afflictions, personal as well as to his followers. No one has faced as many difficulties as compared to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is no example that exhibited such patience in face of difficulties and contentment to the will of God the Almighty than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was these loftiest morals that are a model for the rest of the Muslims. Drawing our attention towards true Tawbah, repentance, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that this is extremely important for your success and also for succeeding in your trials. Therefore, it is the duty of a mu'min, a true believer, that alongside his practical efforts, he should also pay focus towards repentance, towards Tawbah. In other words, in the face of every trial and tribulation, a mu'min, a believer, should prostrate before God the Almighty and admit to his shortcomings, and by virtue of his good actions, continue his reformation. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that a gardener sows a plant, waters it, and then looks after it. Similarly, a mu'min, a believer, should try to irrigate the plant of his faith with the water of righteous actions. If you do this, then this shall become the means of a mu'min's, a believer's success. He also said that one should not be worried by what people say. Many people pass comments. They even criticize the saints, the awliya, the friends of Allah, that a certain prayer of theirs was not answered. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that these critics are in fact unaware of the divine laws. A mu'min, a true believer, knows that sometimes God the Almighty listens to the prayers and at other times makes man listen to him. This is his law. The promised Messiah has counseled us not to become one of those who breaks this law. When the incident of the fire was taking place, an Ahmadi told me that one of his non-Ahmadi friends said that if your prayers are accepted, then why has this fire broken out? And why have you been put into this difficulty? The Ahmadi reasoned with him and said that was the Holy Prophet not subjected to difficulties, or the Mu'mineen, the true believers as well? Nonetheless, those who level allegations will continue to do so. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that do not become those who contravene the laws. He states that the trials and tribulations do not befall upon the mu'mineen, the true believers, forever. They come and they go. Become the recipients of God the Almighty's grace through patience, prayer, and actions. Enumerate among those who, whenever they are faced with any trial or difficulty, recite Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. These are those to whom God the Almighty gives glad tidings. When a person recites Inna Lillah, it means that we belong to God the Almighty. Thus, whenever we recite Inna Lillah after a trial or tribulation, it signifies that because we belong to God the Almighty, therefore He will not ruin us. If we face any tribulation, then perhaps God the Almighty wants to prepare us for an even greater reward. And by saying Inna ilayhi raji'un, we are prostrating before God the Almighty, and we supplicate that let there be no impediment on our part which prevents us from any bigger reward in the future. In fact, O Allah, we prostrate before you and seek this reward, and we are always in need of thy blessings. Make us patient and enable us to improve our actions also. Always make us submissive to thee. When we instill such a habit, then God the Almighty will, inshallah, God willing, grant us success and will grant the community with even greater success than before. The enemy's enmity and mockery can do us no harm if we have a proper and true connection with God the Almighty. As I mentioned before, that due to the recent fire, a lot of damage was sustained in the two halls adjacent to the mosque. It was a very horrific and intense fire. When the various TV channels and media reported this news, some people, out of their malice, expressed their joy. I cited one of the examples earlier, in which someone said that it is good that this mosque is burning. In fact, they said that it is not even a mosque, and because these people are not Muslims, that is why their mosque is being burnt. Later, they expressed their regret, after having celebrated. They then expressed their regret, but not because of the fire burning a part of the complex. Rather, they expressed regret that only two halls of our mosques were burnt, and why was it that the mosque itself did not burn down? Thus, this is the state of some of the Muslims today. However, this is not the case for all the Muslims, as some Muslims belonging to certain areas have expressed their sympathies. One of the messages from among the Muslims expressed their commiseration for the burning of one part of the mosque, its halls. They said that a few months earlier, a fire also broke out in our mosque, and the mosque remained closed for several months, and has only reopened a few days ago. Some uninformed British people also said that it was good that this happened, but this is due to the fact that there is a lot of hate amongst the Muslims in certain places. However, our neighbors and those who know about the community responded to both the non-Muslims and non-Ahmadis, telling them that they ought to be ashamed of themselves, because Ahmadis are ones that practice the true teachings of Islam. Various TV channels around the world and other forms of media gave coverage to this news. They mentioned about the fire breaking out in the largest mosque in Western Europe. And many people commented about who the community is and what kind of people they are. Therefore, this incident gave a wide exposure of the Jamaat across the world. Although we were sad but remained patient and said, Inna lillah, surely to Allah we belong. And God the Almighty raised people in our support even during this loss and time of trial and told the world that He is with us. It is not clear to the police yet as to what caused the fire. They have not said anything so far. However, the most likely cause is that it started from the store adjacent to the kitchen, where there was plastic goods and other things which caused the fire to flare quickly. It then spread through the wooden beams in the ceilings or through the air conditioning ducts. Nonetheless, whatever caused the fire, it also indicates towards the failing on part of the staff and management of the mosque. They also need to engage in istighfar, a lot of istighfar. There could have been far worse damage because of the way in which the fire flared. Even the fire brigade said that we were saved from far worse because the fire as intense as this, with temperatures in thousands of centigrade, could have caused a lot of damage. Therefore, relatively speaking, there was hardly any loss. I was mentioning earlier that how God the Almighty conveyed the good impression of the community through others. The press has a habit of over-exaggerating and presenting news in a sensational way. And therefore, they are always in search of this kind of news. During the incident of the fire, a member of the press came here and began interviewing our Irshad secretary. Standing on the roadside, as no one was allowed inside, he asked that, "What kind of relations do you have with your neighbors, and what are their impressions?" Just as he was asking this question, a car stopped by, and an English lady came out and said that, "I am your neighbor. I live right beside the mosque," and then she offered her help. Similarly, many other people came forth. Representatives from the church also came. And so, directly listening to these people, the neighbors, the journalist said that he had got the answer to his question and no longer needed to ask him. So on the one hand, there was this reaction which came from a majority of whom were not even Muslims. While on the other hand, there are some Muslims who are jubilant and are reading, "Subhanallah, holy is Allah." Fine, today they may read "Subhanallah" in derision and are calling for God the Almighty to manifest His divine honor. However, inshallah, God willing, we will very soon build an even better and more beautiful building and will read the true "Subhanallah" and "Mashallah." As I mentioned earlier, that to be put through trials is the way of God the Almighty. It is His sunnat. Also, as mentioned, that we do not know what caused the fire. How all of this happened? If it was a conspiracy or mischief, then these things will never hinder the progress of the Jamaat. Indeed, as I mentioned earlier, that the management, the administration should see the incident as a wake-up call to identify their failings and to reflect on them. I mentioned in the Eid sermon that the purpose of causing loss and fueling fire is done to stop the objectives of a prophet and a Jamaat or a community. However, they have failed in this effort of theirs. Even if someone had ill intentions, then although some minor loss has been sustained, God Almighty then also promises glad tidings to those who show patience. Conspiracies and the flaring of fire has been there since the time of the promised Messiah's claim. But what results do they show? We find that the community is succeeding in every place. One kind of fire is the apparent and obvious one. However, the other kind of fire is the fire of jealousy and envy that rages inside a person. Though a part of the building that lies adjacent to the mosque caught fire, however, as I mentioned earlier, that inshallah, God willing, we will recover from our loss and will also, inshallah, God willing, partake from God the Almighty's glad tidings. Our patience and supplications will grant us the coolness of God the Almighty's shade. However, the actual fire has in fact only fueled the enemy's fire of envy and jealousy. As I mentioned earlier, that many people were happy that the fire broke out, but then they began to regret that why did the mosque not burn? Why have they only sustained a minor loss? It should have been much worse. Thus, the fire which was lit against us is only burning the opponents of the promised Messiah in the form of jealousy, envy, and hate. The work of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community did not come to a halt even during the fire incident. It is not about outside of London or the UK. Rather, we were carrying on with our work here in London. Some of our workers were definitely worried, but as I have stated earlier, that experiencing grief at a time of loss is a natural thing, but one should not be consumed by this sorrow and grief. There is a very large portion of Muslim Television Ahmadiyya's International's office and set up here. The program Rahe Huda was supposed to be broadcast live that day. It was decided by those in charge of this program to not broadcast this program because they thought, we cannot access the MTA office and we do not know what the situation is over there, and it is not possible to go there. So they decided that today we can show a recorded episode and will not air a live program. When I found out, I said that the program will be transmitted live from the Fazl Mosque. There is nothing that should stop this from happening, and they should not make such decisions without asking me. They should have asked me immediately about what should happen for this live program. Making the decision to not broadcast live was due to despair, or it was their intention, or they were not able to make a quick decision. If this live program would not have aired, they would have conveyed the message to Ahmadis and the entire world that our entire administration has collapsed, which did not happen. So the program Rahe Huda was immediately broadcast live from the Fazl Mosque. People called during this program and their questions were answered, and they were satisfied by this. So it is not our job to despair when experiencing a loss, or to leave our places and duties, and go there to stand around and witness a spectacle. Many people were standing around watching the mosque. They should have left to take care of their own tasks. Instead, any possible assistance should have been offered, and should be offered, and the rest should be left to Allah the Almighty. Mir Mahmud Ahmad Sahib was visiting during those days. He stated that the financial condition of the community was very weak after migration when Ahmadis arrived in Rabwa, and it was being populated. It was a challenge to construct a new city, buildings for the community and the mosques. A city was to be established in a completely barren land. Everything was to be constructed from scratch. At that time, when the construction of Masjid Mubarak was complete, the word spread that the construction of the mosque was not proper. Perhaps it was thought that the material used for the roof was not proper and it will fall. Hazrat Musleh Maud arrived for prayers and stood inside the door and saw it. Then Hazrat Musleh Maud said, "It is being said that this roof might fall and it should be checked. If this is true and this building or this roof is that weak and it will need to be constructed again, then that is fine. When there are other difficulties as well, in this day and age, after partition, which was a big trial, there have been other difficulties, and this can be another one as well. Only those who have an idea of the community's financial condition in those times can understand this, because there is a great difference between the current day circumstances of the community and what it was like during those times. Anyways, we have never been agitated by such things, and never shall that happen. If this incident is a trial, then we should take an oath and prove from our actions that we will pass by this trial successfully by prostrating in prayer before Allah the Almighty. Now there are tremendous blessings of Allah the Almighty on the Jamaat's financial spending. Inshallah, God willing, this loss will be compensated in a better way. regardless of the fact how this loss occurred, if someone caused it or this happened due to our negligence and carelessness, or it was accidental, whatever the cause. Inshallah, God willing, we will, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, reconstruct this building into something beautiful. For now, I do not have to make any separate appeal to the community for this purpose, but despite saying anything, people have started sending money on their own accord, particularly children have started to make donations. Without anyone asking them, children are presenting their savings on their own. In fact, some have actually sent their savings containers which contain all the coins that were collected. A 7 or 8 year old girl said to her father when she inquired about the details that we used to eat, play and hold functions in these halls, so we should contribute in its reconstruction. These are the sentiments of a girl. For this reason, I will give the amount which I have collected, she said. And she brought her savings container. Hence, when the children of a nation have such resolve, then who can discourage them? What can this nominal loss do? Our neighbors are offering the due rice as well. They are trying to do so. Amir Sahib said that a message was received by the headmaster of the local school that children are collecting some amount and they want to make a donation for the reconstruction of this building. These excellent morals, which should be demonstrated by Muslims, are being displayed by non-Muslims. Regardless of the fact that we will accept it or not, they have expressed their emotions and we should value that. As I have stated, that the severity of the fire was immense. Some steel girders and frames were crushed like straws are bent. But regardless of that, the records of the few officers which survived also remained unharmed. There are officers of a Siyat, Qaza or other officers which have remained intact. Similarly, the entire area of MTA remained unharmed, which contains some very expensive equipment. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, work has also started from there. This portion was connected directly to those halls which were burnt, so when I received the message, I was worried. In fact, I really started praying after this, because if the fire had reached this area, it meant that the fire could continue onwards to the mosque as well. Anyways, Allah the Almighty showed grace, and although the MTA library was damaged, 70% had already been backed up. Similarly, 100% of the translation library is all safe. The damage of some tapes, in my opinion, which contain details from various tours, is not such a loss, due to which one can say that our history has been wasted or wiped out, because certain parts were also saved. It is a miracle that the area of the MTA complex was left unharmed, because the fire burnt the adjacent roof to it before turning back, or Allah the Almighty gave the firefighters the opportunity or enabled them to control it. Similarly, the Dahir Hall and the mosque area were unharmed, as you can see. Allah the Almighty also protected us from any casualties. One person was working in the library. He did not know what was happening outside. He says, after finishing my work, when I opened the door to come outside, a black ball of smoke entered through the door. I got worried and I stepped outside. I tried to run, but it was so dark due to the black smoke and everything was closed. I could not see anything and I started suffocating. He says, at that time, I started to grope the wall in the hallway and I started to walk alongside it. At the same time, I started to pray because I was losing my strength due to the suffocation caused by the smoke. Allah the Almighty said to the promised Messiah, "The fire is the servant of your servants." "So I am also a servant, save me," he says, that two or three times it felt I was about to fall down. Had he fallen for a few seconds, he would have been roasted due to the immense heat. Anyways, he continued to walk through the dark smoke courageously, and when he reached the door outside, he saw the light. He says that when I rinsed my mouth and cleansed myself, such black-colored water came out of my mouth as if there was black ink in it. So this was his condition, but Allah the Almighty saved him miraculously. For him, this is a great miracle. Even a few seconds' delay would have burnt him. Anyhow, Allah the Almighty has shown immense blessings. The jealousy of those who are jealous will increase. For this reason, pay attention towards prayers and recite the following prayers. Rabbi kullu shay'in khadumuka rabbi fa'fazni wansurni warhamni. And Allahumma naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'auzu bika min shururihim. And Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. We should recite these prayers. If this incident took place due to our inefficiency and weakness, then we also need to seek forgiveness a lot and do istighfar. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to fulfill our responsibilities properly in the future as well, and may He remove these weaknesses. If this is a trial, then may Allah the Almighty enable us to pass through this successfully. May He bestow His favors upon us more than before. May He enumerate us amongst those patient people upon whom He bestows glad tidings. And may He display success and victory even more than before. After the Friday prayers, I will lead the funeral prayers in absentia. The first funeral prayer is of the late respected Chaudhry Mahmood Ahmad Sahib Mubashir Darvish of Qadian. He was the son of Hadrat Chaudhry Ghulam Muhammad Sahib, companion of the promised Messiah. He passed away in Qadian on the 18th of September at the age of 97 approximately. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He was from Sargodha. He moved to Qadian to attend Madrasa Ahmadiyya in 1934. In 1943, he was recruited in the army, and after retirement, he devoted his life and did waqf. He moved to Qadian as per the instructions of Hadhrat Musleh Maud, and he continued to work in various offices. He worked as editor and deputy editor. He also worked as the Mukhtar-e-Aam for the Anjuman in Shah Jahanpur. He had the opportunity to work in the offices of the property in Qadian, and he supervised the estates there. He was Qazi Silsila and also served in the offices of Dawat, Tabligh, Talim and Tarbiyat. He then retired from serving the Anjuman. He always did poetry and expressed the emotions of the people in his couplets. He was very jolly and a sociable person. He was very fond of hospitality. He was widely accepted amongst the non-Muslims in Qadian for his good social behavior. Many non-Muslims attended his funeral. Allah the Almighty blessed him with 4 sons and 3 daughters. 2 of his sons are in Qadian, whereas 1 son and 1 daughter are in Pakistan. In fact, 2 daughters are in Pakistan. Any guest that would arrive in Qadian, regardless of the fact that he knew the guest personally or not, he would serve him a lot. He spent the time of Darveshi with immense patience and resolution. May Allah the Almighty exalt his ranks. May Allah the Almighty grant his progeny the ability to continue on his righteous deeds. The second funeral prayers of respected Khalid Salim Abbas Abu al-Haji, Sahib of Syria. He passed away on the 27th of August 2015 due to heart failure. inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was amongst the pioneer and sincere Syrian Ahmadis. He accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1927 due to the propagation of Munir al-Husni Sahib. He was very observant of fasting and prayer, very simple in nature, very straightforward in speech, hospitable, hardworking, honest, obedient, righteous, and a sincere person. He was a carpenter by profession, he was a lover of Khilafat, he was very respectful towards the Jamaat administration and missionaries, he used to treat everyone with respect and love, he was very punctual in offering Friday prayers, and despite the fact that his house was furthest away when compared to all those who attended Friday prayers, even then he was the first one to arrive. He was very fond of calling the azan. Despite the old age, he was very courageous and he used to walk in order to meet with pioneer Ahmadis. He used to listen to the sermons and speeches regularly and he would convey the message to others. He fulfilled his oath of allegiance until the last breath with sincerity and faithfulness. He attended the Jalsa Salon al-Rabwa in UK as well. All the missionaries and other people who stayed with him praised his extraordinary sincerity and excellent treatment of missionaries. May Allah the Almighty exalt the ranks of the deceased. Perhaps one daughter amongst his children is Ahmadi, the rest of his children are not Ahmadi, he was very regretful due to this. May Allah the Almighty grant his children the ability to accept Ahmadiyyat and accept his prayers and pious desires in favor of his progeny. The incident of his acceptance of Ahmadiyyat is as follows. When he saw that a person is debating a Muslim cleric, and this person is saying something in relation with Allah and the Prophet, and the cleric is continuously calling him a disbeliever. Finally, he came to know the one being called a Ghafir was an Ahmadi. Then he realized that one person is talking about Allah and his messenger, yet he is being called a disbeliever. So thus, based on this, he made contact with that person. He came to learn about the Ahmadiyya community, and slowly but gradually he attained more knowledge, and Allah the Almighty enabled him to accept Ahmadiyyat. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. The third funeral prayer is of someone that I do not remember the name of at this time. Anyways, it is of a Syrian Ahmadi. He was martyred when he was hit by pieces of a bomb due to the combative situation there. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank. We should pray for Syria that may Allah the Almighty make the situation better there. May he grant all the Muslim nations the wisdom and sense that instead of slaughtering each other, they become true Muslims and they treat each other with mercy. May Allah, the Almighty, grant them the ability to accept the Imam of the age.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.